The Bob Hope Show, transcribed direct from the Veterans Administration Hospital at Long Beach, California, with Les Brown and his band of renown, a special guest, Bing Crosby. And here he is, Bob Hope.
Christmas Day for these boys in the Veterans Hospital. As I look out amongst you, I can see the Christmas spirit everywhere. Red robes and green faces. And I said to Dr. Edwards, I'm looking forward to a great show today. Last time I was here, I found out how to make these guys laugh. He said, I know, Hope, but now we keep that stuff locked up. I thought this was a hospital, but I never saw such a healthy bunch of guys. In this place, you're not considered ambulatory until you pass the nurse you're chasing. And I noticed the modern trend in veterans' hospitals. Now, new hospital beds have gadgets to do everything. One fellow pushed all the buttons at once to see what would happen. He's now drawing flight pay. He'll be in for a landing any day now. And you should see the way these guys speed around the corridors in their wheelchairs. I asked one patient how much longer he expected to be confined. He said, I've been cured for a month. Now all I got to do is serve out the last 90 days of my traffic sentence. And one patient even had a Christmas spirit while he was being bandaged. He turned to the doctor and said, before you wrap it, I'd like to put a card in. And I watched one of the nurses decorating the Christmas tree in one of the wards. What a beautiful sight. And the limbs on the tree weren't bad either. One soldier took a look at the star on the top of the tree and he said, egad, there's a brigadier general running this show, too. I think it was General Estabrook. I'm not sure. You can't blame Santa Claus for not wanting to show up at this hospital. Last year, when he stepped out of the fireplace in his red suit, three nurses and a doctor grabbed him, gave him a shot, threw him in bed and screamed, we don't care if you do have a beard, you'll be discharged when we're good and ready. I played Santa Claus for my kids, and it was great. I had a real Santa Claus suit and came down a real chimney. It was exciting. They had a real fire. They had to beat me out with my own beard. But it's been a great day here at the Long Beach Veterans Hospital. I had dinner here, and can these patients eat? The chaplain said, say grace, and between say and grace, they were ready for dessert. They served six courses with 10-minute intermissions to carry out the wounded. Boy, they really went after the food. I said, how's the stuffing? And the guy stuck his head out of the turkey's mouth and said, fine. Table looked really beat. I said, you look like something the cat dragged in. He said, yeah, but he won't drag me out again. I ate him.
Oh, Bob, can I introduce our guest now?
Not yet, hi. Grandpa Crosby can't come dashing out on the stage like he used to, you know. It takes a little preparation. They've got him backstage hanging upside down by his heels.
Well, it's silly, Bob. Why should they be hanging by his heel?
Well, he has to stay in that position till his chest slides back where it used to be. Then they rivet him into a pair of tight leather shorts so when they turn him right side up, there won't be an avalanche. But I got a right to be sore. Wait till I tell you what happened. It was yesterday afternoon. I was in a department store to buy a gift for Bing. Well, there's Santa Claus standing in the middle of the aisle. I'll go over and say hello to him. Well, jolly old Santa. Well, tonight's Christmas Eve, Santa. Are you going to get into your sleigh and sail over the housetop?
No, boy, I'm going to the rendezvous and fly around the chandelier. Merry Christmas, everybody. Put something in the pot, boy.
Oh, it's you, huh? Still working this racket, eh?
Oh, don't call this a racket, boy. Every cent I take in is for a noble organization. You've heard of the SPCA?
Oh, yes. The Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals.
Yeah, well, this is for the HGPLF, the Homeless Cootie Birds of Lower Frangipani.
Frangipani? Where's that?
I've never been able to find out. I hope I locate it. I'd hate to be stuck with all this money. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Now, wait a minute.
Anyway, boy, I'm not a crook. I'm really one of the store detectives. I watch the customers to see they don't steal anything.
Oh, you're a store detective?
That's right.
That's like making King Farouk House Mother Advisor.
Now, boy, I only dipped in for a few dollars to give to my poor old mother. The little old lady's sight's failing, and she needs a pair of eyeglasses desperately for her work.
Oh, I'm sorry. What is her work?
She forges unemployment checks.
Oh, pardon me. Here comes a guy I don't want to meet. What'll I do?
Well, just crouch down behind the counter there till he goes by. And sit there now. He won't see you. Merry Christmas, everybody. Hello, mister. Say, aren't you Bing Crosby?
Well, that's close enough.
I see you're accepting contributions, Santa. I'd like to add mine to the pot. Here.
Some contribution, a can of Minute Maid.
Perhaps you can help me, Santa. I don't know the store very well around here, and I'm looking for a present for a friend of mine, Bob Hope.
Well, you know him better than I do. Why don't you buy him whatever he needs the most?
Well, now, that's an idea. Yeah. Where can I get a large package of talent?
Look who's talking. If he's in my next road picture, he'd be pushing a broom in a cart.
I've got to get something for Yogurt Boy. I was going to buy him some shorts. I really thought I'd buy him some shorts, but they don't have a size big enough for him. The only size they had were large, very large, and across the wide Missouri. You've noticed this lad is requiring quite a bit of real estate toward the rear.
Nope. He's the low rambling ranch type himself. I need to try to back him into a two-car garage on a foggy night.
Oh. He had the knife out and couldn't open the blade.
I'd like to open one on you, brother. Where'd you get that little ad libo, Max?
You can
feel it right between my...
It shouldn't be hard to think of a present for your friend.
Think of it the other way around. What's the one thing you'd like to receive from Bob Hope?
A postcard from a concentration camp in Siberia.
Now, listen. I heard everything you said. I was hiding right behind the counter.
Well, look who's here. Paramount's bad guest.
I just found out your true character, you lopsided lawn.
Oh, no,
yeah. Oh, ease off your clever hips.
I don't see that. Just a
minute. I punch you right on that nose of yours, but I never start anything that's already finished.
Well, look, avocado top. Yeah, if that head was any smaller, you could use a plumber's friend for an umbrella.
Plumber's friend here.
Put your hat on.
Plumber. Oh, that's champion.
Hey, Junior, I don't understand.
I think that's the critic from the Long Beach Press Telegram.
I don't understand all this indignation, Junior. What do you expect me to get there for Christmas? Miss America wrapped in cellophane or something?
Stop bragging. You couldn't get within a mile of Miss America with Errol Flynn on a leash.
I'm going to settle this question once and for all, Murgatroyd.
Thank you, Murgatroyd.
I shall demonstrate to all concerned just who is the biker and who has the generous heart in this team. Now, for your Christmas gift from me, I want you to pick out anything in the place.
Very generous ad libbing.
No, I mean it. I mean it. Young lady.
Yes.
I'll take that.
No. Oh, Max, no. He worked got anything.
Well, I mean that $300 set of silver over there. Just wrap it up as my present to Mr. Holmes.
To me?
Hmm?
Well, I'll top that.
Oh.
As my present to him, lady, wrap up a $500 set of silverware.
I'll raise my gift to you to $750.
Well, I'll raise mine to you to $1,000. And here's my check to pay for it. $1,000 even.
Thank you, sir.
Now, get up your loot thing.
Oh, Mr. Crosby doesn't have to pay.
Of course not. Wait.
What goes on here?
I'm the shill of the silverware department, lad.
You're the shill?
Yes. Gary owns the store.
There are many wonderful Christmas stories, such as those written by Dickens and Hans Christian Andersen. But tonight we're going to present a story of Christmas that has never before been told. It's the tale of Bingsy and Bobsy, who, whether you can imagine it or not, were once young. Let us go back through the years. At the home of the host in Cleveland, there is a tiny new arrival.
Look at him, Dad, laying on his little blanket. Isn't he just what you wanted for Christmas?
No.
To tell the truth, Ma, what I really wanted was a pinball game.
Oh, now that's silly. A pinball game doesn't grow up and stay with you through the years.
Maybe not, but at least it has all its marbles.
The baby came. You went out and bet $50 it would be a boy, and I bet $50 it would be a girl.
Yeah. That's $100 we'll never see again.
Look. Just...
What does that mean? Wait.
Look at his little face smiling up at us.
Goo.
Again, Sally.
Goo.
Isn't it cute? Sally, tell me, what would you like for Christmas?
The new lines I'm laying an egg with is goo. Yes, sir, we hoped for a wonderful family. Mama was a fine woman, so her desire for riches got the best of her, and she turned used car dealer. She had an idea that would have made a fortune if they hadn't caught her at it. She was soldering pennies on the front of Fords and selling them for Lincolns. Automobiles, that was all my folks ever thought of. As a baby, I never had any talcum powder. They jacked me up twice a week and Simonized me. The first Christmas I really remember was when I was 7 years old. A new family moved in next door, and I went over to make friends with a little boy. Hi there.
Hi.
What's your name?
Harold Lilith Crosby.
Well, brush your hair back out of your eyes so I can see it. You can tell this is a fantasy,
huh? Oh, fantasy.
Santa's coming tonight. What do you want for Christmas?
I can't have anything. We're very poor.
Are you really poor?
Yeah, we don't have anything except what my brother Larry brings in on Saturday night.
What's that?
My brother Everett. What do you want to be when you grow up?
Well, most kids want to be an engineer on a big train and go lickety-split.
An engineer on a big train and go lickety-split?
Yeah, but that's stupid. I want to be a singer. Listen.
That old black magic's got many spells. That old black magic that I know so well. Ba-ba-ba-boo-ba-boo-ba-ba-boo-ba-boo.
What do you want to be when you grow up?
Engineer and go lickety-split and run over you. Come on.
Oh, poor little fella. I couldn't forget the pitiful figure he made. Standing there, his face pinched with cold, his cheeks blue, and big holes in his money belt. All the
little Bing wanted for Christmas was a pair of keys. I knew he wouldn't get them, so I started whittling him a pair. But the Crosbys moved away. I didn't see Bing for years. And one day he walked into my backyard and said,
"Hi.
Where you been?"
"Well, we moved to Spokane, where I finished grammar school, high school, then I enrolled in Gonzaga University, from which I graduated with high honors. From there, I went to the Sorbonne in Paris, where I studied for, and I acquired my master's degree in music. What have you been doing?"
"I finished your skis."
"This is double dandy. I don't ski, but they'll keep me from falling down open manholes, I guess." "Say, who's this cute bit of fluff coming through the gate?"
"Yoo-hoo,
Bobby." "Oh, she's my fiance. She's so crazy about me, she thinks I'm the only guy in the world."
"Hello, Bobby. I just thought I'd come over." "Well, who's this? Over the river, darling."
"Skip the gutter." "Fluffy up your feathers, will you? I'm a chicken inspector."
"You really go back."
"Oh, 20 feet to do.
I'm Kid Pepper. You can't shake me."
"Squeeze the kid."
"Squeeze the kid. I'm a lemon."
"The ushers will now pass among you with tums."
"You're quite a dish, honey. I'm in a generous mood today. You may kiss me if you like."
"Oh, thank you." "Oh, come on, honey. Let's go where we can be alone."
I decided I couldn't let him get away with that, so I yelled, "Hey! Come back here, you!"
"Yeah, what do you want?"
"You forgot your skis." I didn't see Bing for several years, but he told me he never made any money till the Carnation Company hired him. Crosby's voice made the cows contented. When he sang, they turned to each other and say, "Thank goodness, Mathilda, that didn't come out of me."
"Please, you're speaking of the Johnsons I love. I'll take over from here, Robin. To make a name for myself, I went to New York, where I did rather well. I got quite a jolt one day on Broadway when a shabby derelict shuffled up to me and said,
'Hey, mister, you got a dollar for a cup of coffee?' If I'm a bum in this thing, I may as well be a high class one."
"Get away from me, you panhandler. You ought to be ashamed. Haven't you any higher ambition than this?"
"Yeah."
"What is it?"
"I want to be an engineer in a big train and go lickety-split." "Me. I'm in awful shape. Can you help me?"
"I'm sorry, but I've worked hard here in New York for what I've attained. Had you applied yourself as I did, you might have achieved a place for yourself on Broadway as I am. Now, on your way. Go along. I'm busy."
"Okay."
"Hey, do I get your morning paper at Royal Hero Times Express Bureau?" I took pity on Bob and I added him to my vaudeville act when my seal died. Fitted him perfectly, and I soon taught him to sit up, clap his flippers. Oh, what an act it was. By the light,
by the ever-loving light
of the silvery moon,
it rhymes with June and croon and spoon and goon, and last my band is out of tune."
"Say, Joe."
"Yeah, Mo."
"Did you hear what the fella said when he buried the light bulb under the ice house?"
"No, what did the fella say when he buried the light bulb under the ice house?"
"Masters in the cold, cold ground."
That night was Christmas Eve in the little theater we were playing in Kansas. Christmas Eve, a time of warmth and good fellowship, especially among homeless actors. As we sat in our dressing room after the performance, the door opened. The manager of the theater stuck his head in. With a genial gleam in his eye, he smiled and said,
"You no talent, you're sure fired."
"Fired? For what?"
"That ain't enough of your act this bad, but ever since you've been here, we've been missing popcorn for the machine in the lobby. And all we understand, your agent is living here in the dressing room with you."
"A pack of lies. We never stole anything out of the lobby.
And our agent's never been in this room."
"Just pack up and get out."
"Well, open the trunk."
"Gee, thanks, fellas. It's hard to breathe through all that popcorn."
We all know what followed. The two boys made picture after picture for Paramount. And now, to crown their achievements, they are summoned to the office of Y. Frank Freeman, the president of Paramount Studios, who is about to appoint an executive director. May the best man win.
"Well, hello, boys."
"Well, hello.
Hello, Mr. Freeman. How are you,
boy? I won't keep you waiting because I know you're anxious to know my position.
Naturally, executive director is an important job. So we chose the man with the most talent.
Swell, where's my desk?
And the man who was most charming and handsome.
A very clear description of me. Faye, Junior, go ahead, beat it.
So I want you both to meet the man we selected.
Well, don't stand there. Empty the waste paper.
Oh, no!
Frankie, what are you doing at Long Beach?
Well, the shrimp boats landed and I fought my way out of the net.
Had a wonderful day.
Right. We want to wish you all the season's best.
Merry Christmas.
And a Happy New Year.